Welcome to Edgewater Bible Church. We're glad that you guys are here. We got a little bit of a different thing we're going to do today. I'm going to preach a message, and it's going to be a shorter message, and no, you can't get out earlier. I'm going to preach a message, and then we're going to have our drummer, Brad, come up. We're going to have a little interview, so just change things up a little bit. But if you're new here today, basically what we do is we sing praises to God, we preach a message, we learn about what God is doing and what He has done. And we hopefully let that impact our lives, so we go out and live it. If you're new, please fill out a connection card and put it in the box. We do a lot of things outside of Sunday morning. Just a reminder that Sunday morning is not the only thing that we do. So if you want to know about what we're doing, just ask or fill it out and put it in the box. Before we get into the Word, Acts chapter 8. You all right back there? Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Before we get into the Word, we're going to pray that the power of God will teach us what we need to know about His Word. So let's pray. Father, without You, we have no understanding. We try to make sense of this world, but the reality is without You, we have nothing to stand on. We are confused and blind and lost. And so with Your Word and with Your Spirit leading us, we have direction and we can live a life that is worthy of You. And so we come to Your Word and we study Your Word. We're not worried about people's opinions. We're not worried about what people think because everybody thinks something different. We're worried about what You say and what Your truth is. That was me. Father, we just pray for this morning's service, and I pray that You would teach us what we are capable of as we serve in Your army. We ask these things in Your name. Amen. Before we get into the passage, I just want to let you guys know something. If you're new to this church, if you're kind of feeling us out, thinking this is where God is calling you to serve, it's important for you to know this. But if you call this your home church, there's a lot of things that we want you to know, and I'm just going to share one of those with you today. So it's important when you're part of a church that you know what the church expects of you, and what they're hoping for you. So if you call this your church, here's what I need you to know, that as a church, as the leadership, but also as the congregation, we are praying that you would accomplish a goal. We are hoping and praying that you would accomplish a goal. In fact, we had corporate prayer this morning at 9 a.m., and this is what we prayed for. We prayed for you that you will accomplish a specific goal. Here's what we are hoping and desiring for your life. We hope and desire that you will impact your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope and pray that you will impact your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're hoping that you, not somebody else, not the professional, not the whatever, we're hoping that you, yes you, if you're in this room and you're a Christian, we're hoping that you impact your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do I mean by world? We all have different worlds. We have different lives. And so one of your worlds may be your home, right? Maybe it's your immediate family. You've got a spouse. You've got children. You've got dogs and cats. We hope that you will have an impact in your world at your house. And so some of you have whole families that believe in Jesus. And some of you, you're the only Christian in your family. Whatever the case is, that's your world. For some of you, your world would be your workplace. This is where you spend 40, 50, 60 hours of your week in your workplace. And there may be 1,000 people that work with you, or there may be 15 people that work with you. That is another world. Maybe it's your hobby. Maybe it's the extracurricular activity that you and your family do. Maybe you're a sports family and you're spending 3, 4, 5 nights on the sports field. That's the world that you live in. Another world is your neighborhood. I walk out of my door and I look down the street. I see Mr. Tom and Miss Pam over there. And then I look down the street and there are 30 homes. I walk out my door and there's 30 homes right down the street. And as far as I know, 2 of those families know the Lord. That's the world that I have. And so there are a lot of different worlds that you exist in. And you might exist in a lot of different worlds. You might have your work world and your home world and your extracurricular world and your neighborhood. You exist in a world for a reason. And it is our hope and desire that you will impact your world, whatever that is, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That last part's really important, okay? We don't just hope that you have an impact on your world, right? Because you can walk into your office place, if you work in an office, and you can pull off an air horn every hour, that's going to impact your workplace, right? But that's not what we're talking about, okay? We're not just saying we hope you have an impact. We hope that you impact your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another way to put it is as a church, we hope that your world is different because you brought Jesus into that world. We hope that you exist in a place and that because you love Jesus so much, you brought Jesus and the gospel into that world, and that world is different. It's changed because you brought Jesus into that world. If you don't know, that's what we hope for you. We'd like for you to have cushiony chairs, and we'd like for the temperature to be right in this room, but that's not our ultimate goal, that you're happy when you're here. Our ultimate goal is that you will impact the world in which you live with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I believe that our job as a church is to equip you, to give you the tools and the support that you need to go into your world with the gospel. And so there are a lot of obstacles. As far as this church goes, we run into obstacles all the time in getting everybody to impact their world. But today I want to address one of those. And one of the obstacles that you may have as you hear that it's your job to go out and impact your world, that's what you hope, you might say these simple words: I can't do it. I can't. Someone else can, but I cannot do it. So here's my goal today. My goal today, that is, if you are in this room and you are a Christian, I want you to know that you know. I want you to believe with your heart that you, yes, you, in all of your weaknesses and all of your flaws and all the problems that nobody else knows about except you, I want you to know that you can make an impact in your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that. And here's why it's important. Because if you don't think you can, you're never going to try. If you don't think that your neighbor is ever going to listen to you, then you're never going to knock on their door. If you don't think that you can have any significant impact in your workplace, then you're never going to try. And so we want you to try. We want you to persevere. We want you to come up against the obstacle and say, I'm not just going to give up. I'm going to keep pressing forward because I want to impact my world with the gospel. And so that's my goal today, is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will actually believe that you can have a significant eternal impact on your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, let's read Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, we're on the back of persecution. The church is in Jerusalem. Stephen is killed. The Jews are after the Christians. And they're, well, I guess the Jews, some of the Jews did become Christians. So it's the Jewish leaders and their influence. They're running the Christians out of town. Saul is going from home to home, kicking people out of their house, dragging them into jail. Christians are going to jail because they're Christians. And this is where we pick up in verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them. And many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. But there was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed the people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the power of God that is called great." And they paid attention to him because for a long time he had amazed them with his magic. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued with Philip, and seeing signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. This town in Samaria was impacted by the gospel. Prior to verse 5, Samaria had a certain way of doing things. But then after something comes into this town is never the same. Verse 8. It says, so there was much joy in that city. There was new joy in Samaria. Prior to verse 5, they had a certain level of joy. But after something has come in, now they have new joy. This is new excitement. This is something we didn't have before. This whole town is full or has a new kind of joy. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Okay? We talk about baptism because it's very normal to us, but let me remind you, baptism is a very weird thing to the world. Okay? So let me just say this. In order to get baptized, you have to be drastically impacted by something. Okay? Do me a favor. I can almost guarantee you, I'll put all my money on this, that you cannot go out to the streets and talk to a non-Christian and convince them to get baptized next weekend. Just tell them. We got a box. Looks kind of like a coffin, but it's got a lining in it, and we put water in that lining. And then we make the water warm so you're comfortable. But then what we do is, everybody's dressed in their Sunday clothes, but you get in kind of like a bathing suit thing, and you get in the box, and we dunk you in that water in front of everybody. Pete, you're a good salesman. I don't think you could sell that. I don't think you could. I don't think you can go out and tell a non-Christian, I want you to get in a box in front of everybody and get wet and dunk yourself. We'll dunk you. Don't worry about it. I don't think you can do that. And yet it happens. It's because we've been impacted by something at a deep level that drives us to do something that we wouldn't normally do. And so this town is different. You don't just go around dunking yourself in water unless something has impacted you. There's new joy here. They heard the gospel. They believed it. They accepted it. And they committed their life to it. There is an agent of change in this city of Samaria. They aren't the same as they were before. So let me ask you the question, who is the agent of change? Who's the one that caused the change? Now, your good church answer will be Jesus. First and foremost, yes. We make this clear in this church. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, does the heavy lifting. Nobody will ever get saved unless God is working on their heart. I don't care how good of a speaker you are, you will never convince somebody to commit their life to Christ by human logic. God does the heavy lifting, okay? But as God does the heavy lifting, He invites human beings to be part of that journey. And so in this passage, you have Samaria. They have new joy. They're a different town than they were before. It's been impacted by the gospel. And who did God use to impact this town? Philip. One man that we know of. And his name was Philip. And before Philip shows up, the town is a certain thing. And after Philip shows up with the gospel, the town is never the same. Never the same. Because God used Philip to go into that town and change it. Now I'm going to say something, and some of you, like me, are skeptics. We're very critical in America. Like, we're really good at like tearing things down. We're really good at that. Like, oh, let me tell you all the reasons why you're wrong. So I'm going to say this, and some of you are going to jump down my face about this, and then I'm going to explain, and hopefully I'll do a good job. Let me tell you this. As a Christian, if you're in this room and you're a Christian, you can do what Philip did. If you're in this room and you are a Christian, you can do what Philip did. Now, for like me, your critics, you're like, wait a minute. Take it easy. Philip was handpicked by the church in Acts chapter 6. They recognized that Philip was a rock star for Jesus. And so I'm not a rock star. I can't do what Philip did. Philip was casting out demons. You're probably saying, I've never cast out a demon, nor do I think that I can cast out a demon. Right? The paralyzed or the lame were healed. You may be saying, I can't do that. Here's all the reasons why I can't be like Philip. Or maybe it's just your own personal insecurities. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm terrible at speaking. I'm a wretched sinner. I can't do what Philip did. And no, I am not saying that you can cast out demons. I'm not saying that you can heal the lame. I'm saying that you can do what Philip did in a general sense. Philip, with the power of God, impacted Samaria with the gospel. I believe with all of my heart that you can impact your world with the gospel. But, if you're a skeptic like me, that's actually pretty good. Because you should be saying, so what? So what if you think, Ben, that I can go out and impact the world? I mean, my opinion really doesn't matter. We've said that plenty of times. It doesn't really matter what I say. If I say you can go out and dunk a basketball, can anybody in this room dunk a basketball? Anybody? In your heyday, can anybody do it? No? Oh man, we're back with that today. But let me just tell you, no matter how passionately I tell you, you can go dunk a basketball, doesn't change the fact that you can't do it. So who cares what I say? So when I say you can do what Philip did, you should say, well, who are you? And what difference does your opinion make? I would agree with you. Please do not take my word for it. But let me ask you a question. If you're fighting me on this and you're saying, I can't do what Philip did, I can't impact my world, my office place is a terrible place, I can't impact it. If you're having all the reasons why you can't, let me ask you a question. If the God of the universe said that you can, would you believe him? If Jesus Christ said, you can do these things, would you believe Jesus? Okay. Hopefully, if you're in this room, you better say yes. Because if you're just saying no, that's not a good thing. That means you're disagreeing with God. So let me just remind you of Acts chapter 1, verses 8. This is Jesus Christ. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus says to the disciples, you're going to tell the world about Jesus. You're going to spread the gospel, which is going to be impactful. Now, some of you good scholars in this room are like, well, he talked to the disciples. He didn't say it to me. All right, well, turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 12. Don't take my word for it. Who cares what I think? But let's just see what Jesus Christ has to say. My position is that you can make a drastic, eternal impact on your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verses 12. This is red letters. Okay? So Colossians says that the world was created for Jesus and by Jesus. Okay? So the God of the universe, who created all of the world, is speaking here. Okay? In verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Now, I'm going to read the second half of this verse, but it is absolutely astounding to me. I cannot get into it today because there's so much to it. So we're going to skip on it and go. We're going to back up to the first part. But let me read to you the second part of John chapter 14, verses 12. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. I don't have time to get with that because that's really difficult. So we're just going to concentrate on the first part. Maybe you can go home and study what that means and think what Jesus has said. You can do greater things than he did. But let's just concentrate on the first part. Whoever believes in me, whoever believes in Jesus, will do the works that Jesus did. Do you believe with all of your heart that you can do what Jesus did? He said you can. You got a debate in your mind. Do I believe Jesus or I don't feel like I should say that. Now, let's be clear, just like Philip. He doesn't say you can do everything that Jesus does. Right? I wouldn't suggest going to your buddy's pool party and trying to walk across the water, right? I'm not guaranteeing that you can do every single thing that Jesus Christ did. But Jesus did make an impact on his world with the gospel. Wherever Jesus went, he preached the gospel and he made an impact. He changed the world wherever he went. I believe with all of my heart this is what Jesus means. You can change the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can change your office place. You can change the sports field. You can change your home if it needs to be changed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you may be like, okay, conceptually Jesus says that I can do this. That's great. What does this actually mean? So let me just close out and then we'll meet with Brad for a few minutes and see what he has to say. But let me just do three things that you can do that Jesus did, that Philip did. Okay, we're going to make this really simple today. Because I believe very clearly that you can make an impact in your world with the gospel. And that's what we're praying for. Number one, Philip and Jesus went somewhere. You can go somewhere. You might only be able to go to your kitchen table. You might only be able to go to your front yard, whatever your circumstances are. But you can go somewhere. Philip went somewhere. Jesus went somewhere. You can go somewhere. Number two, you can preach the gospel. Philip preached the gospel. Jesus preached the gospel. You can preach the gospel. Now again, for my naysayers, you're like, well, I work in a government building. I'm not allowed to share the gospel. Let's be solution-oriented here. Can you invite that person out for dinner? Yes. Then you can share the gospel. There's a solution for everything. Okay? They went somewhere. They preached the gospel. Whatever way that works for you, I'm not telling you how you have to do it. You don't have to go through the Romans road. You can take time and invest in the relationship and earn the right to share the gospel however it works for you. But you can preach the gospel. And then number three, Philip and Jesus and you can trust that God will give you what you need in order to accomplish the mission. John chapter 14, verses 13, after he says this amazing thing, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. I'm not saying that. Jesus Christ said, you ask it in my name, I'm going to give it to you. But it has to be within His will and within His name, right? So if you're like, God, give me a Ferrari, like He's not going to do that necessarily. But if you're like, God, I want to make an impact with the gospel in this place and I can't do it on my own, can you help me out? God's got your back. God had Philip's back. God had Jesus' back. God's got your back. So you can go somewhere, you can preach the gospel, and you can trust that you have the most powerful entity on your back supporting your mission. So it is our hope that if you're part of this church, that you will make an impact in your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you believe that you can. But if you don't trust me, trust Jesus. He said you can do the things that He did.